Graduate Sunday, and with the talk of graduate parties, I was reminded that you have to pace yourself during graduation season. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then you probably aren't as crazy as I am and make the goal of eating a piece of cake at every graduation party that you go to, which is fine when the graduating classes are small, but when you go to, what's the record? Is it 13? 17? 17 pieces of cake in 2 days. It's a lot of cake. So my recommendation for you as you celebrate the graduates is that you pace yourself and you say their names correctly. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 33. Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I blot them out, you shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from among you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror before you and will throw into confusion all the people against whom you shall come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites from before you. And I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you, until you have increased and possessed the land. And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the Euphrates. For I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we dive into this passage from Exodus, we pray that you would be opening us up to what you have to teach us. We pray that for the graduates, that this message would be especially meaningful. Really, for all of those who are going through a transition or a change in their life. Really, Lord God, we pray that you would speak to all of us this morning, that you would be moving and working in our lives. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. I can still taste my jelly bean. Can you guys still taste your jelly beans? Yes. They have not aged well. We are picking up the story with the Israelites. So they are somewhere now between Egypt and Canaan. They have been set free from Egypt, but they have not yet reached the promised land. It's important to remember where they are in this story of salvation, that they have been saved out of captivity from Egypt, but they have not yet reached their promised destination. You and I find ourselves in the same situation, spiritually speaking, where we have been saved, we have been set free, but we have not yet reached the promised land. The main character in the passage that we're looking at today is God. He's the main character in this story. He should be the main character in our lives. And right now, graduates, a lot of attention is being put on you. A lot of questions are being asked of you. You are, rightly so, being highlighted. But I would encourage you to keep God in focus. That God should be the main character in the story. In this story, it's God who gives the victory. God's voice that is to be obeyed. God provides the blessing. God made and sealed the covenant. We'll see more of that in the next chapter. And God was to be worshipped forever. God rescues and redeems us. And we should follow Him and worship Him, trust and obey Him. And so what does this passage from Exodus have to do with the graduates? I asked myself that same question. I actually asked Lisa, I said, should I keep on preaching from Exodus or should I do a special sermon for the graduates? And she said, well, you should do a special sermon for the graduates. And I said, well, I've already taken a lot of breaks from Exodus. Are you sure? And I really want to be done before Father's Day. But then as I read this passage and I studied this passage, I realized that it has quite a bit to say for our graduates. And I hope that you'll hear that today. I hope that all of us this morning will find that it applies to our lives, not just in times of transition, but really all the time. Exodus was written for the glorification of the church, for the edification of the church, for the edification of the graduates, for the edification of you and me. We are God's chosen people. He has a plan and a purpose for us, primarily to glorify Him and expand His kingdom. But each and every one of us are called to something special, a special job. So as we dive into this passage, one of the first characters that we meet is the angel. And it seems like angels always grab our attention when we come to them in Scripture. One of the challenges of looking at this passage is determining exactly who this angel is. Commentarians give several suggestions. They say, well, maybe it's referring to the pillar of cloud that was leading the Israelites, but it doesn't seem quite right because the angel described here has a personality, a person. And they say, well, maybe it's Moses. Well, that works until you figure out that Moses never made it to the promised land. So, well, maybe it's Joshua. Joshua led them to victories. But it seems that it can't be Joshua because of really the divine powers that this angel has. And so then the next option is, well, maybe it's just an angel. But this angel has more than just angelic qualities. It's more than just a messenger. It's divine. And so we find that this angel that is speaking of, this is the angel of the Lord, or the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So this is Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. We've seen this before. We've seen this in the story of Exodus when the angel appears to Moses in the burning bush. Is speaking, it's the angel of the Lord, or the pre-incarnate Christ. So he is the one who goes before His people, protecting them and bringing them to the place that He has prepared for them. So there's a few things that I want us to learn this morning. The first is to trust in God's victory. God was going to win the victory. He tells them in this story that I am going to win this war for you. He would work on the behalf of the people to bring about His purpose for their lives. He went before them. He struck fear in the enemies. And graduates, God goes before you in your battles as well. And you'll face them. And He will fight for you in the same way that He has fought for His people since creation. Our warfare may not be a physical warfare, but we most definitely face a spiritual one, where the enemy will come up against you. And in the midst of that, even though we know that God provides us with the victory, we are not called to be passive observers. We're called to watch, to pray, to believe, to study God's word. But Ephesians 6:10 says the main thing that we are to do is to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. The battle and the victory belong to God. And we should not struggle to win victories that he has already promised to win. Now for us, we must trust in God to be victorious in our life. Our eternal salvation, if you are a Christian, has already been won. So God has already won the great victory in your life. The challenge now is trusting him in the small ones, that God will continue to fight for you, to be victorious in your life. The second thing is that little by little, these things will happen. God told the Israelites that little by little, he was going to drive the people from the land, that it wasn't going to happen overnight. So often, we want things to happen right now, right away. I'm sure all of you graduates are counting down the days that you have left. Counting down, you've been really since the beginning of the year, maybe you've been counting down the days that you have left. And it seems you just want it to be now. But God said that there was a reason why he didn't do it right away. It was so that the land would not become desolate, that he was preparing this place for them, that through time, he grows us, that he doesn't give us things right away because he's allowing time to prepare us. Little by little, God works and moves in your lives. Little by little, we become better at following him. The next thing is obey God's commandments. Don't compromise. What did God expect of his people? What does God still expect of his people? Obedience. God made two essential demands on the Israelites. They were forbidden to worship the gods of the Canaanites, and God told them to destroy the idols and sacred stones of the Canaanites. For us, we should never compromise in our worship. And we should do everything that we can to distance ourselves from sin and to destroy the idols that exist in our hearts. How are you doing at destroying the idols that exist in your life? How do we know if something is an idol? It's whether you sin to get it or sin when it's taken away. Idols can often be very good things, but if you're willing to do wrong things to get them or to keep them, it's a good sign that it might be an idol in your life. And we're not just to avoid them, but destroy them. God didn't tell the Israelites, oh, just, you know, kind of move around these idols or these false gods of the Canaanites. No, destroy them. Have nothing to do with them. Allow them not to have any presence in your life. It's oftentimes easier to be influenced than it is to influence. That oftentimes it's easier for the things of the world to influence us than it is for us to influence the world. And so we're told to remove those false idols. And next, we're to receive God's blessing. God promised to provide the Israelites with plenty of food and water, good health, large families, long life, and most of all, the promised land, which he had prepared for them. It's important to remember that this is a promise given at a specific time for a specific people, that God was using really physical prosperity to communicate a message for this people at this time. That this isn't a promise that carries on to us today, that God doesn't promise that if you're obedient, that you'll have all of these things that he's promised the Israelites. Really, there's a heresy right now in the church that this health and wealth gospel, that if you are just have enough faith, or maybe if you prayed more, if you go to church more, that you will have all of these things that you want to have, that you'll be rich, that your health will be good, that you'll live in a big house and maybe even have a private jet if you just had enough faith. And it's not the way that it works. We are not guaranteed material possessions because of our obedience. But it also doesn't mean that if you're suffering right now, that it's necessarily because you've been disobedient. You might just be going through a hard time. The church and the people in it experience times of suffering. And we are not guaranteed these material blessings. But what we do know is that God has designed his commandments for the benefit of his people. That he designs his commandments for us to follow it so that we benefit from following them. That he has designed them so that our life will be blessed. That obedience leads to a blessed life. Graduates, you are about to go through one of the biggest transitions of your life. And from this point forward, your life is going to be marked by transition. Things change. Your life will go through changes. As you go through this change, think about this. What has God done to bring you to this point? What has he set you free from? What wilderness has he brought you through? What has he done to bring you to this point? Think about the transitions that are in front of you. What goals are you going to set? How are you going to allow God to move and work in the midst of these transitions? How are you going to allow him to lead you? Is it your desire or his? What impact are you going to have on the land that God is calling you to? The purpose of the Israelites was to glorify God, to worship him, to be a holy nation, a nation of priests, to tell the whole world of the glory of God. You and I are called to tell people about God also. That we are to have an impact on the places that God calls and leads us to. We're to be set apart. We too are to be conquerors. That as we move in, we're not to just avoid the sin that surrounds us, but to work against it. Not just to avoid the things that we know are wrong, but to create different opportunities, better ones. We're not called to a physical war, but we're still meant to be in the fight, fighting against sin. This morning, I want you to ask yourself a few questions. What are some things in your life that you need to get rid of? What are the things that lead you away from God? What temptations do you need to avoid? And what is keeping you from total obedience as you follow God? Trust in God's victory. Think about what's brought you to this point. That God has been victorious in your life so far. Trusted Him to continue to be. That He moves in a way that often is not in our timing. It's little by little. But He is faithful and good. To obey God's commandments. Knowing that obedience leads to blessing. And then receive it. Receive God's blessing on your life and thank Him for it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for moving and working in our lives. I thank You once again for each and every one of our graduates today. We pray that You would help us to follow Your will, Your plan for our lives, that You would use us to create change in the land that You are calling us to. And we pray these things in Your Son's holy name. Amen.